A judicial panel in Minnesota is weighing whether to make 69-year-old John Rydberg the first person permanently released from the state's Civil Commitment Sex Offender Treatment Program. Now, some background here. 20 states and the federal government have civil commitment. That means they keep sex offenders in custody beyond their prison terms. But you may be surprised to hear that it's often for decades, underscoring the concern that some sex offenders can't be released back into society. Rydberg had been in and out of prison since the 70s, but in the Minnesota program, which started in 1994, since 1997. He's admitted to more than 90 sex offenses, most of them voyeurism or exhibitionism. But in 1975, he tied up and raped a couple as their young son slept in another room, and 4 years later, raped a woman in front of her children. Last week, he's told the state release panel in Minnesota he doesn't think he'll harm anyone now. Dr. Paul Reitman will also address the panel. He's a psychologist with 2 decades of experience screening candidates for civil commitment and release. And Dr. Reitman, in 1997, you recommended that John Rydberg be civilly committed. What do you think now?
I am still reviewing records, and I think that will likely, more likely than not, be my position. Our state made a commitment to treat sex offenders at almost $70 million a year now. This man has gone through over 8 years of treatment and has had the support of treatment staff, the state forensic psychologist. He went through a 6-year transitions program, meaning that he was in the community with supervision. He never attempted to escape. And he also has what we call the special review board. That's a panel of professionals that will review as to whether or not he would have not an unconditional release, but a provisional discharge.
And what does that mean?
He would go to a halfway house. He would continue to wear a GPS monitor, and he would be intensely supervised. And if he violated any condition of his release, such as not being where he should be, drinking alcohol, he could be revoked. And the states that do release them, we find that recidivism is lowered with that kind of supervision because we are able to monitor them intensely.
Well, we're going to talk about other states in a minute because states across the country weigh these decisions to release sex offenders. But the criticism of Minnesota's program is that they are never released. An advocate for offenders calls it a roach motel. You know, people check in, but they don't check out. What do you think is happening here? You also think that most sex offenders don't respond to treatment. This is rare for you, that you're going to potentially testify that someone should be released. What do you think is happening? Is Minnesota failing to rehabilitate here, or is Minnesota being realistic in realizing that few sex offenders, especially pedophiles, can be released?
I think that it's a number of political factors. And currently what's going on, State Senator Linda Berglund has wanted to make changes, but I would quote her, she would say, nobody wants to be associated with sex offenders. Nobody wants to be responsible for something that might cause a problem later on.
Well, particularly in this state, there might be concern because in 2003, a college student was murdered by a sex offender. So there's fear. But still, you have said you don't think most sex offenders respond to treatment. So tell us more about this world that has been created because of that thinking. I mean, as you said, upwards of $160,000 per year per inmate, this has become sort of an industry keeping sex offenders in prison.
I think the law initially developed because we had very dangerous sex offenders getting ready to be discharged. We have the diagnostic capacity in our state to really evaluate which sex offenders are amenable to treatment in the community, which sex offenders do need a very structured, intensive program. In my opinion, there are a number of sex offenders who simply should not ever be released because their crimes were so offensive. But now that they have gone through the programming, there is a statute that we have to abide by, which addresses the criteria for release. We can't change the rules in the bottom of the ninth inning. And that's where we are stuck. And that's caused a great deal of controversy even amongst the judiciary. Many judges have gotten fed up with this and consider this to be a Guantanamo Bay. One judge said, quote, if a treatment program is going to be a program, don't they have to release people? So I simply believe if we're not going to release them after treatment, then we should simply just can treatment and then give them very long sentences and stop wasting all this money and resources.
Well, Wisconsin has let out 60 sex offenders from their civil commitment programs, California 200, New Jersey more than 120. Some other states do things differently. Rather than continued incarceration, for instance, Texas, instead of, again, continuing somebody in jail, civilly committing them in jail to a treatment program, Texas is the only state that releases them conditionally, these sexually violent predators, to outpatient treatment, maybe halfway houses. But they have to undergo regular polygraph tests, something called a penile plethysmograph, to measure arousal levels, GPS monitoring, supervision of a case manager. By the way, Texas is only one of two states that also allows surgical castration of child molesters if they request that. But the point being, this idea of, you know, their costs are, you know, half of what it would be to keep people in prison. But this kind of intensive supervision, can other states afford that?
Actually, Texas costs, as I understand it, is $30,000 per year versus ours, $134,000 to $160,000 a year. Professor Eric Janis, president of William Mitchell Law School, who has been a strong voice criticizing civil commitment, has always said that what's going to change civil commitment laws is finance, money. And that's what's occurring in Minnesota, because $70 million a year were maybe the average length of stay. Well, right now, the average length of stay is 20 years. So changes have to come.
Well, Dr. Reitman, you said you will probably testify that John Rydberg, again, a sex offender in the civil commitment treatment program in Minnesota, should be released. If he is, how much will you think about that after he is?
A great deal. I also treat victims of sexual abuse. The impact on victims is just horrible. I would tell you that very few people of sexual abuse ever totally recover. It's a very rare individual who can. So the victimization is something terrible, and I'm fortunate in my career. I have not had any cases where the perpetrator reoffended.
Dr. Paul Reitman, thanks so much.
Thank you.